Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we've been calling Alive. We're looking at the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And this Sunday, we dove into chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we read verses 1 through 10, which are some of the more famous verses in the scriptures, some really just beautiful language from Paul describing first our spiritual condition apart from Christ, and then what God has done for us. Verse 4 says, but God, right? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He later on goes on and says it again, by grace you've been saved, and it is by faith, right? It's the gift of God, so that no one may boast. And so we kind of drew out the implications of some of that. We talked about how, I mean, it's by grace that we're saved. It's not something, salvation's not something we achieve. It's something that we receive by faith. Faith is the means through which grace comes. God pours his grace out in our lives, and we trust him. We believe Jesus. And that's how what Christ did for us becomes effective in our lives, as we receive grace through faith, by trusting Christ and believing in him. And then how we're saved, not by our good works, but we are saved for good works. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That out of the love and grace that God has poured out onto our lives, what should flow from that and out of that is good works, a zealousness, a zeal for doing the works of the Lord, for serving others, for serving God, and not a lackadaisical attitude towards sin or toward good works, because, well, hey, you know, I'm saved by grace. God loves me unconditionally. If that's your attitude, really what that means is you don't understand grace. You don't understand how much you've been loved and you've been forgiven. The grace of God, the way I said it on Sunday, is grace is really the fuel for good works. You understand the grace of God, and then it fuels you for good works. But I want to take a moment and talk about the first few verses there are really not the popular ones. They're not the ones that maybe we like to dwell on. Paul says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So he's talking about our spiritual condition before we believe in Christ, apart from Christ. He says, every human being, you're following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. He's talking about Satan. He says, you're following Satan. And then he goes, among whom we all once lived. We all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Like, these are not, I joked on Sunday, these are not the phrases you find in flowing cursive on the coffee mug, right? You know, in Christian subculture, we oftentimes put little verses on a coffee mug. You got the flowing script, you drink your coffee out of it and do your morning devotions. Like, you never see child of wrath written across there, right? You never see on top of someone's wall, dead in trespasses and sins. That, I mean, that would be weird, obviously. But I think part of that is, you know, we don't really like to dwell on those verses, and that's not what Scripture wants us to dwell on either. But I think sometimes we kind of overcorrect in the sense that we shy away from it entirely. We get uncomfortable. We don't like talking about, man, we were dead in our sins, that the wages of sin is death. In my own life, I have struggled with this in the sense that I have often found myself believing, you know, my sin deserves like a divine hand slap. It doesn't deserve death. Doesn't deserve the wrath of God. And yet that's what the scriptures say, that sin is not just, hey, I made a mistake. Sin is ultimately a rejection of God himself. It is a rebellion against God. It's following the course of this world. It's following the prince of the power of the air. It's living in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. It's loving what's evil is what John says, right? That the light came into the world, but men ran to the darkness. They loved the darkness. And so sin is serious. The Bible describes sin as horrific and the wages of it as death. And one of the things that I said on Sunday that I just want to repeat, because I think it bears repeating, is that when we try to soften the seriousness of sin, we actually end up cheapening the wonder of grace. when we try to soften the seriousness of sin, we actually end up cheapening the wonder of grace. I think sometimes we avoid talking about these things. We don't like it. We don't like, it makes us feel bad. And, you know, the truth is, just because something makes you feel bad doesn't mean it's not true. Just because something makes you feel good doesn't mean it's true or right. This is the truth of what Scripture teaches, that sin really is serious. And when we avoid talking about it, when we avoid confronting it and acknowledging it, and if we say, well, I just want to focus on the grace of God and the love of God, actually acknowledging what the Scriptures teach about sin, about the seriousness of our condition apart from Christ, it actually serves to strengthen grace and love, to help us really fully understand the wonder of grace and love. When we understand where we were, it highlights all the more the wonder of where we are in Christ, where we're going in Christ. When we understand, man, I wasn't good, and then God made me better. I was dead, and God in and through Christ made me alive. That is way different. And the gratitude and the joy that you have in the Lord, knowing, man, here's where I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. It's when we are willing to look at what the Scriptures say, take God at His word and say, man, whether I felt it or not, I mean, that was the seriousness of my condition. I was dead, and now I'm alive in Christ. It leads to joy and humility and peace and a life of good works in the Lord, because you know, God, you have shown such wonderful, amazing grace in my life. So let me take a moment and pray for us, and then I want to encourage you to take some time and just pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace in our lives. It is the gift. It's a gift from you. It's not of our own doing, Lord. Our salvation is not of our own doing. It is a gift from you, so that none of us may boast. And Father, before Christ, before you in mercy and in love sent Jesus for us and redeemed us and regenerated our hearts by your Holy Spirit, God, we were not pretty good people who just needed to be a little better. We were dead in our sins and transgressions, by nature children of wrath. And now, your children, your beloved children, redeemed, forgiven, free, heirs with Christ. All these wonderful descriptions and promises that Paul tells us about in Ephesians, saved by grace through faith. Lord, we cannot ever repay you, but we can leverage our lives for you, Lord. We can say thank you, and we can live our lives zealous for good works, for serving others and serving you, that we might shine our light among men, that men might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And I pray, Lord, that that would be true of each and every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a moment and just pray for yourself. Thank you.